Oh, 6 a.m. It's way too early. Hello, welcome to What Would Brian Bevan Say? I'm Rob London. So, with Sir Paul McCartney set to celebrate his 83rd birthday next week, where are my two podcasting Beatles? Firstly, he's the Ringo star of the pod. He drums out his statistics every week, but as the old joke goes, he's not even the best statsman on the podcast. Introducing Sam Sankey.
That's very true, actually.
And also, he's our very own Pete Best. That's right, he'll be dismissed before we sign our massive contract, Dennis Waywell.
All right.
How are we, gents? I'm quite refreshed. I've had a very easy week. I was away last week in tropical Queensland, and then Monday was the King's birthday, which we get off in Australia. Do you get the King's birthday off over there?
No.
No,
You
exactly.
hang on. You guys want to, well, say you guys, appreciate your English, British, but you guys want to be a republic but get the King's birthday off. How does that work?
We didn't vote for a republic, Sam. We voted for a monarchy. So yeah, we had a nice week. We've had a nice week. Okay, well, should we press on? Because I mean, the captain's challenge, I think, has, it's just been absolutely ridiculous over the last month. So should we concise the podcast a bit this week? Move on quicker, get the speed up a bit. That'd be good. You two up to getting on your toes still? Okay. All right.
Well, we'll try. We'll give it a go. Let's do best endeavors.
Okay, nice and positive, boys, because we're going to review the whole game.
Oh, shit.
The team was Webster came in at fullback, Ashton King, Josh Smith, Hopewate. We had Hayes and Snead in the halves. Front row was Thomas, Walker, and Byrne. Philbin came in the second row alongside Curry and Crowther at loose forward. Interchange bench was Powell, Sipley, Ewan Smith and Tanganawa. James Bentley missed out after picking up a one-match ban during the win over Bradford. Josh Thewlis was also ruled out through injury, while Ewan Irwin was a late withdrawal due to illness. So, with the Super League clock nowhere to be seen, don't get too wound up. Here's the highlights.
Whole fans behind the sticks getting excited now. Arthur out to Hardacre. Hardacre wider still. And a leap for the line from Harvey Barron, who's done fantastically well. Caught up in circles, confusion is nothing new. Another set for Hull to defend with only 5 minutes remaining in this first half. And King reaches, oh, and he's got it down. Referee walks away. That is the impossible finish from Toby King at the end of a frustrating half. Well, delay and indeed cancel the celebrations. Toby King still on try 99. It isn't going to count. And Warrington still find themselves 4-0 down here. The second hand unwind. If you look, you can look and you will find me. Time after time. Hull desperate defending. Inside path. Tracked on by Tanganawa. Kept alive. And out comes Caesar to make the tackle. Warrington still have it. The kick to the corner. Briscoe gets hand on it. Can't keep hold. And diving into the corner goes Josh Smith to claim the try. One to go. Burrow hurls it back. Arthur now takes it in. They're in here, surely. They are. For the second time tonight, Harvey Barron scores in the corner. Warrington's arms are flung aloft in disbelief and questions amongst their teammates. But Hull have found a way to score again and lead again. Well, never mind the knock-on, they're going to disallow the try for the obstruction. That is why Ben Curry was flinging his arms in the air. The drum beats out of time. If you're lost, you can look and you will find me. Time after time. If you fall, I will. And this is the last. Powell. Hayes just sliding it into that in-goal area. And the dive and the score. That will win it for certain now. Josh Smith.
Final score, Warring 10, 12, Hull 4. There were tries, 2 for Josh Smith, conversion sneak 2-2. Referee was YTS apprentice Ryan Cox, and the attendance was 8,815. Well, I mean, what do you think, Sam? You obviously went again. You were there. Back-to-back home games. I mean...
Yes. Well, first of all, before we go on to that, let's just say somehow on the Super League website, they've managed 8 minutes and 25 seconds of highlights.
Wow.
Yes, I noticed that. I looked at it today, thought, I'll just have to give this, and I looked, 8 minutes, I was thinking, it's going to be like pulling teeth, isn't it?
Yeah, well, they spent a minute on Toby King's disallowed try. That's how they were trying to fill things up.
Can I just say something else before you move on, Sam? You did send a message saying you'd met a few people asking you about the £5 that you had promised everybody. Yeah, what happened there?
Well, the last two home games in particular, given we're trying to be positive, I need to be positive and give a sort of Radio 1, Radio 2 shout out to a guy called Steve who came up to me.
Hello, Steve.
He doesn't listen.
Was this in the toilets again? Mostly you get seen in the toilets, not in the toilets.
Yeah.
Okay. And then in the before the match in one of the bars, I just heard this. Well, I recognise his voice. So there you go.
Right. Who was that then? No one. Don't know who that was.
Didn't answer the question about giving the £5 away, did you? You've not answered the question yet.
I said, sorry, that was two seasons ago.
No, it wasn't two seasons, was it?
Oh, I think it was, yes.
I feel fucking depressed now.
Should we go over a few of the statistics? Should we have a look at what happened? Possession, according to... Now, I reeled these stats off about half an hour after the game. They do often change. But currently the possession is 50-50. It was 50% to Wire, 50% to Dull. Completion rate, we were 66%. Hull was 60%. Meters, we were fair. I thought they were a bit bigger in their meters with their big boppers, but we did 1-2-2-5. They did 1-0-9-6. We still, unfortunately, didn't win the post-contact meters average gain. We were 2.75 and they were 2.76. Now, we should say... just put a little bit of a warning out for the time frame continuum. Very similar to Toby King. Sam has come up with stats tonight. They've just come through. Dennis and I have had to go and get magnifying glass to read them.
Yeah. Can I just bring up as well, Sam? Sorry. But I also want to pull you up. There's no title on the graph. Now, that really fucking winds me up when there's no title. When you send a graph, you actually put it through. Well, not graph, whatever it is, spreadsheet. There's no title. That's what I mean. I don't even know what I should be looking at. So
there's no. This is acronyms. He's not put any little chart in to say what his acronyms are. Either.
Correct.
No.
Yeah, I actually, for the listener, I thought, I'll just compare our forwards. And then I suddenly looked at the time and thought, shit, I can't finish it. I've not got time to finish it. I'll just send it as it is.
I don't know this is true, but the post-contact meters don't add up every week to the meters that Warrington run, or for that matter, any team in Super League. I think the meters for our props are for when they catch the ball. They're not from the advantage line.
Well,
and that's why Philbin gets so many meters, because if you watch the game, Philbin catches the ball a lot further back. He doesn't run parallel with the dummy half. So
who can we check this with?
It's the same with the fullbacks. It's why the fullbacks in the NRL run for like 40 metres, yet in England they run for 150 metres every week. Mm. And it's because once they catch the ball, the metres start. So you could run round in circles for 20 minutes and come up with 700 metres if you wanted to as a prop forward in Britain.
So you'll notice digging on that, but on the stats they usually say all run metres, which is from when they catch it, or meters, as in how many the team have made forward.
Mm.
But it's very difficult to isolate the individual players.
That is a fair point. But who could we clarify this with, Sam? Who would you write to get this information
No one.
Correct? Is there anybody you've got any contacts?
If we give me the answer, surely it'd be Super League, won't it?
Would it?
We'll see. Shall we see?
We'll
see. I tell you what, let's see if we get an answer.
Okay.
Are you going to commit? So Sam's
I
going
will
to commit,
to that.
Writing
I'll
a letter,
do it
not
tomorrow,
a letter, an email. All right.
An email. Yeah. That will be Wednesday the 10th. And we'll see what we get.
You see, he's instantly, excellent. That's one of my little clauses when I interview people is I give them just tasks to do. And if they say I'll do it tomorrow, they're instantly written off. What I want to hear is I'll do it right now.
I'm not doing it after this podcast at 11 o'clock at night. I'm going to bed.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. Yeah, he should be just pop round the corner to Mrs. Sankey and say, love, I know we make love after the podcast every Wednesday or every Tuesday, whatever is over there. But I've just got to write a letter to the RFL, so I'll be about 5 minutes. Okay? Yeah. That's all he needs to say.
I could dictate it to her, couldn't I?
What about the letter?
See if she's any interested in making love after that.
That's still twice as long as the sex anyway.
Actually, well, do you know what? I've actually done some... do you want me to do my stats? So just about the captain's challenge, first of all. The first half ran for 50 minutes and 34 seconds. The second half ran for 50 minutes and 56 seconds. The Wakefield game ran for over 2 hours.
Yes, I watched that.
The BBC was behind because it overran the allotted time.
So I've looked at some numbers this week in terms of what you get bang for your buck. What you're supposed to turn up and watch, so theoretically a rugby league game should be 80 minutes. We'll take out half times. But if you're actually watching the action, what the best sport is to go and watch if you want to catch your bus, basically, what comes in on time, etc. Now, I did also do how long intercourse lasts in the UK. Do you want to have a guess? Not foreplay, intercourse. Basically, past the advantage line.
Oh, all right. So Sam's 3.5. I'll go higher because I was thinking 4.
3.5 minutes.
Well, they're clearly lying. It's 6.5 minutes.
Not bad.
I told Mrs. Sankey.
Oh, did you?
Mrs. London this, and she said, up your game.
Yeah.
So anyway, here we go. Right. So the best sport to go and watch if you want to catch the bus was the Ashes Test Series this year between England and Australia. Now, scheduled to play, there was 150 hours of cricket. Mm. How many hours of cricket do you think the fans got?
Scheduled 150.
Five tests, 5 days a day.
Well, most games finished in 3 days, so that would be 3/5, whatever that is, 100.
100 was actually 84 hours. There was 84 hours of test cricket over the summer. So you got 66 hours short. There was you got 44% back. Okay. Now, the next sport to watch, and this surprised me, is actually Premier League. Premier League should go for 90 minutes. Do you know what the average game goes for, Sam? I won't even ask Dennis. He's got his head in his hands already the minute you mention football.
Oh, well, hang on. It depends when because he spent 1 year adding all time on and they've gone back to normal.
Well, this is last year.
90. The one just finished.
Yeah.
96 minutes.
No, just slightly more. 100 minutes and 30 seconds. It runs over by 12%. Okay. Mm. Next one is the NRL. 80 minutes. 92 minutes. It runs over by 19%. Warrington versus Hull ran over by 21 minutes and 30 seconds, 27%. So it was 8% more than the NRL. So not a huge amount. But
not huge.
So there's a lot of talk about, getting rid of the captain's challenge because it doesn't work. I don't think it works because of the incompetence of the referees.
That's all it is.
That's all it is.
Yeah,
they just dither, and they haven't got 4K high definition, so they're looking at an angle for 700 times. But that's the reason. The one you don't want to go and watch. There's three that really stand out. What do you think runs over by 171%?
Oh
final right. round of a golf. Oh, that's double the time, isn't it? Oh, gosh.
Golf.
NBA basketball. 48 minutes. 48 yeah. minutes of action. It runs for 130 minutes with the clock stopping. 82 minutes over. But I can beat that.
NFL probably runs for 3 hours for 1 hour.
Rugby internationals.
Hey.
So they're supposed to run for 80 minutes. They actually run for 100 minutes. However, the ball is only in play for 35 minutes of the game.
Yes.
So it's 188% it runs over. And the top one, you've just mentioned it, NFL, runs for a staggering 220% more than it should do. Games are for 60 minutes. Average games go for 192 minutes.
Oh, God. Well, that's why they're always eating in car park, isn't it? They have, like, barbecues out in the car park and stuff. Jesus,
well, is that
what
we need to bring
next?
In? Like, yes. Barbecues in the Tesco car park for the Captain's Challenge? Mm.
I think so.
So yeah. Not the end of the world.
I have to say, I failed this week. Oh. I said I was going to see if I could get to the toilet and back in a captain's challenge.
Mm.
Well, the first captain challenge was after about 4 minutes, so I didn't bother. I wasn't ready then. But the next one, after about 15 minutes, I ran down and I'm afraid the game had started just as I was shaking. Yeah. So
there you go. Mm. I have got the average time people have take a dump in the UK for a week, if you want that.
It's brilliant stats. I definitely want that one.
I couldn't believe this.
Yeah.
48 minutes people take a shit in the UK for over a week.
Over a week?
I would say that's
48 minutes.
I would say that's a couple of sessions for me.
I could do.
Well, you see, they're lying, Sam. They stop people in the street. How long do you shit for in the week? How long's your intercourse? It's all bullshit, isn't it? It's all lies.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Is it like when I go to the doctor, he says, how much do you drink? And I say, about 20 units a week. And he writes, and then he cups his hand over the pen and he's probably 60. Putting 75 or something like that.
Exactly. Bit like Philbin's meters.
Yeah, I knew a bloke who used to like shitting on his wife at the same time.
Oh,
so
no.
Probably did both in a really good time. Should we talk about the match?
I was going to say, I'm trying to think of whether this discussion is better than or worse than what I sat through
game.
On Friday night at the game.
Well, I've got a couple of points I've written down. I thought,
did you watch it, Dennis? Did you watch it?
I did, yes. Yeah, okay. I watched it. I don't know why, but yes, I did. Harvey Barron is a good winger, I think, for Hull. He's sort of like their standout player.
You
I
liked
thought.
Him, did you?
Good name.
He's a big guy. And
name
I
suits
think he's
him.
Relatively quick. What did you think of the yellow card for Thomas? For his
What did he get that
do you
for?
Remember?
Picking someone up.
Lifting
a
leg.
He's not been banned.
I thought it was correct, but he's not been banned. I thought, when I say correct, in the current climate, I understand why he went yellow. I didn't think it was a bad one at all, and he shouldn't be banned, and he's not been. So
good. You'll like my tackle bags today, then, Sam. That's good to know. What about you, Rob? Do you remember that bit, or did you fast forward?
I don't really remember.
Bit?
Like, when was it? No. So I woke up late. It was on at 5 a.m. I woke up at 6. I didn't quite catch up to you. I gave myself an hour. It's the only way to watch Super League. I can't watch Super League anymore in real time. It's a waste of my time. It goes for too long. I'm not going to sit there all evening watching Captain's Challenge with some going,
can I have a look at it from the 10th angle, please? I know everyone at home's made their decision 2 minutes ago, but I want to carry on. Oh, what would Mother do?
Do you think you've got a conflict of interest considering you're running a rugby league podcast? Do you think you might need to listen to it a bit more?
Dear. So, no, I don't. So I watch it an hour later. And I come up with the same conclusion every week. Warrington are second in the table, playing very average football.
Yes.
It's the standard of the competition has diminished. I think in all the time I've watched Super League, this is by far the poorest I've seen the competition. There are standouts. Wigan put a game together. Hull KR can put a game together. I think Saints and Leeds was quite a good game. But we're not seeing what we saw under the, you know, Steve-O and Eddie years of Super League when we had some good players in the comp. It's just really fallen off. And then you sprinkle it on top with that captain's challenge rubbish and the incompetence of the referees. They're clearly not paying much to recruit referees in the UK because you pay for what you get and they're not good enough. They're poor. And as I just mentioned to you off air before, I caught 1 minute of the Canterbury versus Parramatta game. There was a captain, not captain's challenge. I think they went up to review a try right at the end of the first half. And he looked at it once and said, the play is dead. The Parramatta fullback has dropped the ball, but he's then repossessed the ball. Then he's dropped it again and it's carried on. But that's it. The play's null and void. It's dead. And he was so articulate in the way he said it. And he looked at it once, 15 seconds, and we're away again. And then you look to the stands and they're completely packed with young people. The atmosphere, it's just so the contrast. Because they're not killing the game, where these referees are just killing the game. And then I think we'll come on to it a little bit later on, but the BBC Sport has gone, I've asked the RFL for comment on something this week, and they've refused to comment the RFL. Who's governing this crap over there?
Yeah, but now you've got to say though that I don't think the BBC tried hard enough, because I think if they would have approached Nigel Wood with a kebab, they would have got an answer.
We're looking at a scoreless half for the first time in 5 years. Hold the phone! Canterbury make an error! Oh! Parramatta pick it up! And Joe Hurst! Babalehi scores! Joe Hurst, they will have to check it off with a bumper! Oh no! We're going to have a scoreless first half! We're going to have a scoreless first half!
Did you see anything through that?
Oh, I don't know.
We've seen it play up until this point. First touches off Lachlan Galvin's foot.
Then
he now knocks the ball on.
Yeah.
Keep going. He now regains possession after the knock on. At that point, the play is dead.
Oh,
we have a decision.
So he regathers the ball, and that's it.
Can I just take your point there, Rob? Because I feel there's been an averaging out of our game. I feel the worst of maybe having watched Huddersfield, this is the wrong thing to say. I think we've got a lot of reasonably good players and good players. I think we're lacking those standout players and those standout teams. So there's been an evening up of it. And I agree with you. Sometimes I watch it and I think, God, this is shit. But I actually caught quite a lot of the match. The three matches on Saturday, just by chance. I didn't sit down and watch any of them, but I watched I watched about 20 minutes of Huddersfield versus Toulouse, and he played at Dewsbury. He played at Crown Flat. That Crown Flat only holds 5,000, and there was a normal 2,500-3,000 Huddersfield supporters, so it was a small crowd, but it presented so much better being a two-thirds full stadium. And then I watched Wakefield, a bit of Wakefield Hull KR. Wakefield needs some credit for the shithole it was five, six, seven, well, pre-COVID. Can't remember the new owner's name, but he's not really new anyway, but he's put some of his own money in and he's just tidied up the ground. It presents well. And then the Catalans Wigan game, there was only 12,500 there, but 12,500 in a 19,000 stadium. It looked bright and vibrant. So even though the product on the pitch in all three games had good moments and bad moments, I think that's how we've got to present it, rather than 2,500 in a Huddersfield.
So you're advocating less crowds.
He's
really
advocating
sadly
less crowds. Yeah. I mean, I'm worried why he's watching Toulouse versus Huddersfield.
I know. I was thinking that's the time you take a shit, isn't it? At that point in the day.
I promised Mrs. Sankey I'd clean the living room. And whilst in there with the Hoover, I thought I'd just sneak the TV on and see how that game's going. That's just a little insight into the rock and roll Saturday that I have.
Just on Darryl Powell and the Wakefield game, I caught a couple of minutes of the highlights, and the owner that we don't know the name of, the guy who's, you know, the big lad.
That's him.
Just look at the chemistry between him and his coach. You've got you know, they're patting each other on the back. You know, he's backed Daryl to the hilt. And when I spoke to Daryl on the phone, you know, the animosity between him and Middleton and this fallout over Cooper and, you know, Powell basically saying, this is the way it's going to be. I'm calling you the Cheshire set because you're all soft and you need to man up and stop being prima donnas and get on with it. And I've said this before, and I back Powell. Powell came in, he tried to change it, and he didn't have the backing of his chairman. And now look at him at Wakefield. On a third of the money he's got to spend, they're all working together. They're all working hard. They're all tying their own shoelaces. It's a totally different mindset in Wakefield.
He's got a massive kitchen now as well, hasn't he? So,
he's got a massive kitchen because that bloke's probably installed a couple. It just such a difference.
Sam, why were you booing at half time? Well, because that was you know, we were 4-0.
Oh no!
Down.
We're back to Hull. Yes.
Yeah,
okay,
we thought we'd go back to the game. Yeah.
Okay. So our match. Let's face it. It was one of the worst. It was one of the worst games of rugby league I can remember watching. It
really?
Was awful standard. Yeah. It was awful. It was, and let's just take a moment to say that was two professional teams there. Two professional teams. One of them in second place in Super League, and one eighth or ninth are the Hull. Why are they at the
minute? Well, that just feeds into what Rob said, doesn't it? The standard must be shit.
Is anyone else getting bird song in their headphones? I'm getting bird song tonight. Beautiful birds.
It's outside my house.
Lovely. It's lovely. Mm. It's the only thing that's keeping
me. I'm in South Warrington, aren't I? I'm in the countryside.
What is that? Is that a chaffinch? What is it? What's making that noise? Could we all just be silent for a second and listen to them?
It's gone. heard Sam talking about the game.
So Dennis, yeah, the we were poor. Hull were worse. I think I sent on the message something like, we were shit, Hull were shitter,
Can I just say, on the edit of the podcast, I've got this new software now that I put into AI, and it tells me how much everyone's talking. And Sam last week talked for 69% of the pod. And I think he's about to beat it tonight.
Okay, yeah. I'll try. But my new...
He's off again. Yeah, he's off
no,
again.
I've got to get this off my chest. My new pet hate is Mark Snead. How awful he was.
We apologise to
the
listeners.
In a poor game, I'm looking for him to lead us and be a standout. And when Aidan Caesar went
round... The poor bloke's about 38.
So's Aidan Caesar.
Why did they sign... And he's shit as well. He's past his best.
Yes, but
he still
went round Mark's knees and burned him off like he wasn't there. He was bloody awful.
Are you going to mention anyway. Leon Hayes' passes in this little...
Oh, that was poor as well. He was poor as well. But I'll give him a little bit of...
Leeway
because he's still young and little.
Is it in proportion?
Still young, little, and average. I think that's what you needed to say there.
Yeah. Yes. Whereas Mark Snead is a Lance Todd Trophy winner.
But it's not his fault, is it? It's not Snead's fault. He's been recruited.
What, that he doesn't run and he doesn't pass?
I could go out there. You're going to criticise me? If they put me out there, we'd be all going, Rob London's shit. He's taking away. He's taking him for a ride. Someone's recruited him. It's not his fault. He's
comment.
Out there. It's not Leon Hayes' fault that he's not good enough to play at that level. It's because they keep recruiting them. The one that really stands out to me, and I don't think his game has changed, I just think everyone else is diminished around him, is Curry. Curry looks like a world beater every week because Curry is a good player and he's competent and he's keeping at that level. And everyone else has gone, you know, and that's why.
And actually, there was a couple of moments, maybe about 20 minutes in, where he clearly could see something needed doing, and he ran out of the line. He put a big hit on, and then he demanded the ball twice in our next set to take it up. And he was clearly trying to lead by example to drag the others with him. You know,
remember at the start of the season, and I say this every year, I say, have a look at the Warrington team and say how many Wigan would like in their grand final winning side. and I look through that team. There's nothing in that team. Also, I've got to say, Ashton is overrated. He's fallen off a cliff this year. No. He's hardly scored a try. He's just not. He should be demanding.
It goes back to the halfbacks. There's no balls going quick enough down the line and getting out and stuff like that. My analysis of the biggest impact that I think we're missing at the moment is the fullback. I think there's been a couple of occasions, and on one occasion in this match, Curry made a break and there was just no one around him. And I thought, you know, if Dufty was still with us, I reckon he would have been sniffing around, or Williams. Yeah, yeah. And I think we're just missing the fullback coming through at the moment. And so we haven't got that on attack for a start. But
when you say Dufty's sniffing around, are you just in reference to the matches?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Not what he's up to now. Yeah. The other thing is, do I get an each way bet on Liam Byrne putting that kick through as an assist? Do I get any money?
And it wasn't the first try of the game.
Ah, right. Okay. I am in disagreement with you two. Anyway, I'm just going to mix it up a bit. I don't think that this was... I thought we had a really good defence. I think at times we were right on it. You know, we were chasing back, scrambling around.
You need a defence against Hull.
Well, you need a defence, I said. So it was a really good defence. And I think that, you know, you can be overcritical, but I want to go back to your football analogy. When you see, like, you know, in the past, I mean, this is how long I'm going back, but Italy passing the ball round and it's shit.
You mean Italy who haven't been to a World Cup in 16 years?
Oh, have they not? Well, yeah. Well, you know, you look at these teams and, like, it's awful to watch, but they win and then, they end up winning and everyone goes, oh, yeah, but they're the best team. And you think, like, it's shit to watch. And yet, I think when we put a performance in that is shit, we've got good defence, we've got 2 points without playing well.
Let's see how good the defence is at St Helens.
Well, yeah.
Well, Dennis, I actually wrote down here. You've only got to half time and said it was a booing. And I actually wrote down here, strangely enough, as we went through the second half, the match became quite compelling because it was so tight, because there was that many errors, and you could see us trying to will ourselves over the line. I think we got slightly lucky with their disallowed try. Probably correct by the letter of the law, but he was never going to get there.
I know the shit instance that'll cover in tackle bags, yeah.
Yeah, okay. But I was then going to say, but we ultimately, with a kick from a prop forward, found a way to win. And I was screaming, not quite literally, but I was shouting for us to change our kicks and put in a grubber behind. And eventually we did it on, I think it was the 76th minute. Mm. And then we did it again on the 78th minute, we scored a try just by changing.
Did you say it without
around.
Swearing, Sam, or was there a lot
I
of
I did
expletives?
Actually, yes, I did.
Oh, okay,
I did. Yeah. I had had a few drinks, 80, but I was
85%
I was quite
of the podcast, Sam Sankey. Sorry,
okay. I held it in. Anyway, that's all I've got.
Shut up.
The tackles. Crowther 36, Thomas 33, Walker 32, carries Hopewadi 20, meters Ashton 129, an average gain. Walker won with 10.
Mm.
Dennis, give me something on that to keep Sankey off the microphone for 1 minute.
You know, I was thinking about Walker, and I don't know whether he's a bit fatigued or carrying a bit of a knock or something like that. They've been interchanging him a bit more of late, haven't they, as well? Mm. So, I don't know. It's probably just that mid-season sort of dip in form. He can't be good every week carrying us. So, I think he'd be all right. You just sort of keep rotating in with Powell, who made 1 metre, didn't he? Or was it two? I can't read it. Oh, yeah,
he's made 2 metres this week. That's 2 metres more. That's a 200% rise on last week.
Yeah, so...
Sam, you got anything in 10 seconds? Come on, try and do it in 10 seconds, Sam. Come on, this is it. I'll count you down. Go.
I actually thought Philbin brought some enthusiasm to our go forward. So I was actually pleased with him.
Very good. Oh,
very
excellent.
Good. Yeah. professional.
Let's have a listen to Burgess getting prickly with Dave Woods.
Not the prettiest of games, but 2 points is 2 points.
Yeah, let's just say that, Dave. I think it's a very strange game to be a part of, you know. I agree.
Good. Well, not many do, so I'm glad you agree. Well, let's go to the beginning of the game, because you've had some disruption in the half, haven't you? You and Irwin, we believe, pulling out late because of illness.
Yeah, we've had a lot of change. Josh Steele pulled out yesterday. Ewan pulled out this morning, so Leon had to play on the right. He's not trained there all week, and Sneedy came in, he's not trained all week. Lachlan Webster came in yesterday, so I knew it was going to be ugly. You know, I was very happy with our defensive spirit. You know, I thought we showed up for each other, and effectively it won us the game, so happy with that.
And you're up there level with Leeds now. You've got a game in hand on them. But my goodness, those next two games are really going to test your pedigree, aren't they? Because you've got St Helens away, and then Leeds at home.
Yeah, we'll look forward to that.
After tonight, is there a bit of fixing up to do, though?
What do you think, Dave?
Well, it's not. I'm asking the question,
yeah.
Sam. You're the coach. You're the expert.
Yes, I know. You guys seem to be experts as well sometimes. But they, listen, everyone can see we need to fix up. But, yeah. You know, the spine that played tonight, is not. We've not trained together all week. It's been a bit of a mess. It's been a bit of a mess of a week. And I was very nervous before the game, being totally honest. So very happy that we were gritty enough, tough enough to get the win. I thought there's every excuse in the book to lose tonight. And as strange as the night was, I thought the contest was weirdly enjoyable.
Yeah, it was absorbing. Absorbing. Yeah. And so has this interview been as well, Sam. Thank you very much.
Always into you, Dave.
We always appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Cheers. Cheers.
Bye-bye. Cheers, bye-bye. Thank you.
Good on you, Dave. I sent Dave a message after the game. I said, well done. Well done, Dave.
Yes.
He was very upset, Dave, on... just point out that he wrote me a little message and said he'd lost one of his best friends in the week, obviously with John Kerr dying, and he said he just wanted to get out of Warrington as quickly as he could. So I thought I thought it was another brilliant commentary performance by Dave Woods, but... Even obviously it wasn't the best night for him, he was still willing to put Burgess on the spot. And as we've seen before, he gets prickly, doesn't he? He gets prickly.
He does. And I've written down, do you think he would get away with that in the Aussie press and the Aussie sort of press conferences? Or do you think he's a bit arrogant with, like, you know, the UK press? What do you think?
Well, it's very comfortable over there, isn't it? It's very comfortable over there. But you need journalists who are willing to challenge the question. And I reckon the rest of them, maybe not all of them, but most of them would have just taken a step step back. And Dave Woods didn't. Dave Woods just switched it round again and said, hang on, I'm the commentator. You're the coach. I'm asking you the question. So good on him. That's what I thought. Good on him.
I think, Rob, that is a fair comment. And I was glad he stated the follow-up, saying, I'm asking the questions. Mm. But I do wonder whether Burgess himself was actually a bit pissed off with the performance of the team as well.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, but you've got to answer the questions. You can't just sort of say answers. And eventually, after he gave him his rebuttal, he got on and answered the questions. So he is capable of doing it. He's just being an obstinate twat. So, you know, that's been called out, hasn't it?
I saw Matthew Turner had put something up about he was going to really nail Sam this week.
Shout out to the Warrington Guardian. Their pop-ups haven't been around of late, so maybe they've...
Well, you say that, but the man who... I can't think of his... I can't think of his first name now, but he's a surgeon, and he did my mother's knee op. Rob. It's R-O-B-B. He ran in two Olympic finals. No one remembers him because we had Kramanova and co, but he was the other runner in the finals. Curtis Robb. Anyway, he's been up in court this week, and my mum had a knee done, so my mum got very anxious because she thought maybe, you know, he was knocking people off under anaesthetic or something. so she couldn't read it because there was too many pop-ups on the page. So she ran me all anxious and said, "What's he done to my knee?" Anyways, allegedly he's been slapping his wife around a bit or putting a pillow over her face.
So
he was up in Chester Crown Court. So innocent until proven guilty. But that's what. So mum said, "Oh, I'm relieved." I said, "I don't think you should be relieved, mum, for what he's done." She said, "Oh, it's nothing to do with my knee."
Oh dear.
Sam, you're gonna. I mean, all jokes aside, I know you've obviously got a lot to say, but you're going to conclude this game for us. What? How do we conclude it?
2 points.
Oh, right. Not going to give 2 points. That's it.
We got.
Oh, I see. Oh, God, I was waiting for the next sort of 10 minutes. Oh, right, okay.
Super League round 13 results: Leeds 24, St Helens 16, Bradford 30, York 20, Castleford 14, Lee 24, Huddersfield 16, Toulouse 36. We'll get a full report on that game from Sam in a second. Wakefield 26, Hawke R 24, and Catalans 16 in Gay Paris, Wigan 40. I did catch a little bit of that. Little bit of that looked like a big stadium, but
it was Stade Francais.
Catalans didn't turn up, Sam.
They didn't until the second half. They were already about 24, maybe even 30 points behind by half time.
Do you? Okay. The Leeds Saints game seemed pretty good from what I could see. I watched a bit of that. So, I mean, I don't know, you know, there weren't, so obviously Mal Meninga wasn't running around anymore for St Helens, but
yeah,
it was competitive.
It was competitive. There's a bit of needle around. What's his face? The little shit, Jake Connor.
So
Saints were trying to wind him up, and he was giving it back. But to be fair to him, he actually kept it under control and came out the winner.
I saw whatever the coach is called, the New England coach, McDermott, is it?
McDermott,
he'd already nailed his, you know, colours on the mast to say that Williams will be his captain.
Well, I don't know why. Why would you do that? He's out for most of the season. You'd have him as captain.
Could you imagine the Kangaroos doing that? Can you imagine the Kangaroos picking someone? Not only picking someone, but also saying he's going to be the captain for someone who hasn't run around in the NRL. And when has run around in the NRL, really hasn't caught it on fire. And is he going to leave him out again, the guy from Leeds?
I don't think he would leave him out in the same way Wayne did. Wayne didn't take to him, more of this personality in the group, did he? But going back to McDermott, I don't think he should have backed himself into that corner. He should have said something like, George Williams has been the England captain. We'll see whether he's fit, because obviously I would like a fully fit George Williams in my squad. Yeah. That's all he needed to say, really, didn't he?
I mean, you've got Lewis and Smith, haven't you, as like you know, the lead halfbacks. Yeah. Whether they played six or seven is irrelevant, I suppose.
Six, seven.
Just say, right, put them in. but they're actually probably, is that some kind of fucking Strictly Come Dancing thing, is it?
Strictly Come Dancing. Last year, Dennis. Sam, are you going to watch it now? That ginger little twat is going to present it. Hey,
I don't even know who he is, but
Josh.
No, you've made
Josh,
your mind
Josh,
up, have you?
Oh, Josh Widdicombe. Oh dear. Oh God.
Anyway, so would you have Williams Robbers?
What the fuck?
Right, okay, answers that. Nothing
I
else
would.
To add on the England. You would.
I would.
Yeah.
If he is fully fit, he would be in my England squad.
You're the sort of person that would put a heart on a Toby King sort of wish you well post on an Instagram picture.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you like me to do? I'll do that next time. Take a screenshot.
He's already done it.
You've already done it. Rob's already cyber stalked.
I don't follow anyone on Instagram. I don't. But I think the only people who follow me are Sam, my nephew, and my daughter. So when they do hearts and stuff, my phone goes, bing. Middle of the night, my phone pinged. I'm like, who's pinging me? I don't even know what ping is. It's because Sam had put a love heart on Toby King.
I know that. I'll be doing it all the more.
Super League table. Leeds are out on top on 20 points. Warrington 2, though, are on 20 points, just below them on goal difference. But we do have that game in hand. Caveat, it is against Hawke R away. In third place, It's Wakefield on 18 points. Saints also sit in fourth on 18. Hull KR in fifth, all out alone on 16 points. Then we have two on 14 points in Wigan and Lee. Catalans are in eighth, just hanging on 12 points. And then really, I think the rest of the table, they can forget it. Bradford in ninth, Castleford in 10th, Hull in 11th, Toulouse in 12th, York in 13th, and Uddersfield at the bottom in 14th. As for our mastermind competition, it took a bit of a knock on the weekend, Dennis, but you and I still have two teams in the correct positions. The combined total, we now have four. Somehow we've made it, but obviously he's letting the team down. It's disappointing. Sam Sankey doesn't have one team in the correct position.
Excellent.
He's looking at the chart now. He's trying to find an error, but unfortunately he can look as long as he likes. He's not going to find one. Sam, I think we need to ask you what's gone wrong. What's gone wrong, Sam? What's gone wrong? Why have you got your table so wrong?
I seem to have a lot of teams just one or two places out.
Oh, yeah, that old chestnut.
I've got Castleford in 10th and I've got them in 11th, you know, things like that. It'll all come right.
Exhilarating stuff, this is, isn't it, eh? Fucking hell. Oh, I've got Castleford in 10th.
It's Huddersfield Giants that we've got so wrong because they're so shit.
Don't trigger, Rob. Don't trigger him. I've tried a couple of times this evening.
Before that, John Craven's News Round.
Toby King will leave Warrington at the end of the season after agreeing a two-year deal with the London Broncos. King, who turns 30 in July, has been a familiar figure in Primrose and Blue since making his debut back in 2014. During his time at the club, he had loan spells with Rochdale Hornets and Huddersfield, while in 2023 he joined Wigan on loan and was part of their grand final winning side. Wire fans will perhaps remember him best for his time under coach Steve Price, when the club's attacking strategy often seemed to be summed up with the words, a kick to the corner for Toby King.
I think he's been really good the last two seasons. I think we've probably seen the best of him. He's maybe not like speed or anything, but certainly like power that's needed, coming off the line. Yeah, he's really consistent.
I mean, does he fall into that Curry category that he's one of the old troopers who's a good player and now he's standing out a bit with what's around him?
Maybe.
Is that what it is? Well, we just mentioned Huddersfield before. He signed for London Broncos, who are not in Super League yet next year, but rumour has it they might replace Huddersfield, although Ralph might have his say against that. We don't want to go to 15 teams, right? But we would like the competition to be more competitive. And to make it more competitive and to make it more vibrant, we need to fuck Huddersfield off and bring London in, right?
Do you think, reading between the lines, that they know that the NRL are going to get involved and it's likely to be from 2028 and London will be in the Super League?
Darren Lockie is involved, isn't he, down in London?
Exactly.
Yeah, they're smart. They've got good backers. They've got smart. Listen to Lockie talk. He's articulate. It's just on a different level to most of the crap we've got in the competition.
I got one of my young people, associates, to use AI, and Chatty came back and said,
What a Luddite.
Whilst Huddersfield are getting worse and London are improving, there was a 3-point gap in their scores, which might be too much to make up in one season.
Who said this?
Who marks these teams? How are they marked? How do Huddersfield even get a point?
I did go back and say it's farcical how you can wait until after the season to mark everybody and then decide who goes up and down.
Is the AI your associate investment or something? Or is it actually a computer? I'm a bit confused. Who said that?
ChatGPT said it.
Can't even fucking say it.
Right, so Toby King's on his way, so that's going to relieve 87% of the salary cap. Ooh. What are we spending the money on? Are we going to buy another centre? Where's that going? What do you reckon?
Speaking to someone at the club are hoping that, my words, not there, the club are hoping that they've got cover in the backs with the players coming through, and it would be investment in the forwards that they would like to do. I got nothing more specific than that, but it was a clear indication that with the likes of Gardner, Lindop, the two Thewlis boys, that we'd have enough cover, Kai Taylor-Ray, and it's the forwards we need to concentrate on.
Right. Okay. Well, that's exciting, isn't it?
2 years.
Which would be no surprise, really, is it? It's no surprise.
No surprise. No shit, Sherlock. There we go. Mm. Okay. Following the Wakefield Hull KR match last Saturday, Daryl Powell has said the captain's challenges must be abolished for the good of rugby league. I'm going to quote Powell's words now. Powell said, "No, get rid of it."
Can you do it in his voice? Do it in his voice.
What was his voice?
I know. I've forgotten.
I remember. It's like one of those ones you don't remember, isn't it?
Oh, it's Tommy Cooper. That's right.
Just that. No, get rid of it. It's not a waste of time, but it is a waste of time. Just that.
The Rugby Football League declined to comment when approached by BBC Sport. So it's not a waste of time, but it is a waste of time.
Mm. Well, it's Tommy Cooper, isn't it? Really? It is all over. Not like that, just like that.
Is he saying that the principle's not a waste? The principle's fine, but we're actually wasting time sat around getting a bit older while they make decisions.
It's down to the competence of the referees. They almost sound shit scared because if they might make a mistake, and also you can't really see what's going on anyway. I would be happy if they actually kept getting it wrong, or wrong to what I think, but they just made a quick decision. I'd take that on the chin and just roll with it. I'm fucking sick of like just spending hours of going over it.
Don't mention if he's on the edge, Sam. Don't mention the World Cup at this moment in time.
Oh, Christ. Anyway,
48 teams. There's about 120 games to watch.
England are going home in the Aztec in this quarterfinals against Mexico. They're not training at altitude. They're going to be fucked in that quarterfinal.
Who gives a shit?
But just on captain's challenge, an interesting point in the Catalans game.
Yeah.
One of the Catalans players lost the ball.
Can you cut that? Because that's what I'm doing in tackle bags. I know exactly what you're going to say. And that's
we'll
the point
come
I
back
noticed.
To that.
Yeah.
We'll thanks. Come back to that then.
I can hardly wait. just a quick mention of the YTS referee we had in the whole game. He got a few.
He wasn't the best, but then again, he wasn't the reason the game was shit. The players on the pitch have to take some responsibility as well.
Okay.
You've got to start somewhere.
Yeah. And finally, poor Maximilian Wood has been sent on loan again, this time to sidekick Steve's Hull. The loan is for a month with a week-to-week recall clause back to the Halliwell Jones. Is this sidekick Steve's first signing, Dennis? What do you think? Like, he's just like... Get yourself over to Hull for a month. Just have a look around. There's a lot of concrete and it's quite windy. But you enjoy it. You could be there next year. Yes.
Jesus, that's something to look forward to, isn't it? It might well be Sidekick Steve's influence. He might be giving him a look out and saying, like, you know, you could be a squad player at Hull when I get there. Because obviously you're not getting on here. Because that's what the messaging is, isn't it? That, you know, we've got forwards left, right and centre injured. We've got Harrison coming back. Yet, we don't really know how fit he's going to be yet. We're offloading a prop. So, it doesn't make sense.
So the big stat for Wood on the tiny spreadsheet that you can't see is clearly he's not played that many minutes, but he's taken 16 carries and he's made 7 tackle busts. So by far and away, Only 2.3 carries per tackle, but he's by far and away the prop making the most impact in the tackle.
Oh, we'll send him out on loan to Hull then. The squad for the game tomorrow night, there seems to be quite looks a few strange, names in that it? Squad that are players that are not fit. Are we now just filling in squad numbers with players who aren't? Because I didn't think some of those were anywhere near. He's put Holroyd in. I thought he'd only just got back to sort of, you know.
That I can't see how Holroyd will play. I really
so
can't.
So why is he put in the squad?
Don't know. He might surprise us. He might have been on growth hormone. He might be about 24 stone.
Don't say that, Sam. I think we'll have to put a disclaimer in there. Jesus.
In sixth place on my countdown is a player who I would argue has never really been replaced, and that is Mr. Chris Hill. The forward was signed from Lee for the 2012 season, and after the departures of Adrian Morley and Gareth Carvell, he became the lead prop at Wyre, a role he would remain in for many years to come. In his first season at the club, he was named in the Super League Dream Team and played in finals at both Wembley and Old Trafford. Hill would be named in the Dream Team twice more in 2014 and 16, by which time he was captain of the club and one of the most consistent Super League forwards around. Many felt that he was not the best club captain, but his performances on the pitch as a prop could never be doubted. Commitment, consistency, grit, hard work and endeavour. That famous leg drive helped Hill make over 100 metres nearly every game. Perhaps Hill was a little more skillful than people remember too. Don't forget that gorgeous assist for Deck Patton at Catalans in 2019. He left for Huddersfield after 2021, which was one of Hill's best seasons at the club. He finished just shy of a big milestone with 297 appearances. With two league leader shields and two challenge cups, he lifted four pieces of silverware with Wyre, but agonisingly played in all four of Wyre's grand final defeats too. His fitness and availability was an underrated quality, the third most used player under Tony Smith and the most used player by the next coach, Steve Price. It's you and me. It's you and me. Won't be unhappy. If only could, I'd make a deal with God. And I guarantee...
Daniel there, Christopher Hill at number six. There he is. Now, I think Christopher Hill really, he wasn't a hill, he was a mountain. I think the official 2,000 feet and below is a hill in the UK, but I would say that Hill, if there was ever a mountain that sort of stood out, and I think he's right in what he said, whether Vaughan replaced Hill for a little while, possibly, but we certainly didn't get the same mileage out of Vaughan as what we had out of Chris Hill. So
different type of player, Vaughan, really, wasn't it? I mean, Hill, you'd love Hill. We just finished the previous section about St. Helens. You'd love Hill at age 29 to be in that squad to take on St. Helens this week.
Yeah. He's now gone down to one player a week to try and stretch him.
Yes, I've got some notes here. So, yeah, he's gone down to one player for a week, which still leaves him well short. So, obviously, he'll be going on to coaches next.
Could he do half a player a week?
Well, you could do it if Leon Hayes is in the top six. Has he got a new microphone? Because it sounded excellent.
No. Okay. So, instructions are now that he has to record under the duvet.
Right.
So we're now getting the top six from under the duvet. I think excellent. So. Anyway, he's doing a belting job. Absolutely. I think this has been Daniel's best year. I've really enjoyed this. Whether you agree or not with him, but he just puts these together.
I like this. Yeah.
Sunday night, I get them. They come through. And Chris Hill. So we've got five left. Oh, sorry, Dennis, I've interrupted there. Have you got any more on this or are you done?
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I was going to congratulate you for putting a nice bit of bush on there as well. So, good.
Excellent. She wrote that album when she was 19 in her own bedroom. I say her own bedroom. Well, obviously, it'd be her own bedroom. I don't know why I'm thinking it'd be anyone else's bedroom.
Under the duvet.
Under the duvet at 19, she wrote that.
Good.
Or in Australia, one of my pet hates, under the doona. because they're not called duvets here. They're called doonas. Tension on a beach and in the water. Doona. Get under your doona, mate. There you go.
You got a message, Sam? Yeah, just did a beep there.
He goes off at this time every week, doesn't he, with that old-fashioned thing? What's it saying?
I thought you contacted the referees. Yes, he's written the email.
He's got a response.
He's gone into night mode.
Night mode? Oh, well, you've got a setting that goes into night mode.
Yeah, it turns all the blue light off. And
okay.
Tells me off if I start scrolling after this time.
That's good, isn't it?
Clearly 20 past 10.
Yeah. Right, well, there we go. So we've got five left. So we've got two Monaghans to fit in there and a Lee Breers. Yeah, and a Brett Hodgson.
And a Hodgson. And a Morley.
And a Morley. We're done. There we go. There we go. Just what order will they be in? Okay.
What a great idea to bring the team away to a health retreat. Why, we've had that many injuries. If Florence Nightingale had been our nurse, she'd have been off on stress leave.
Yes, Rolfo. Time to cleanse out the players' impurities.
Yes. Although the lobotomy Professor Broomhead had this morning, it pumped out more shit than the sluice gate at Latchford Locks. For goodness sake, Samuel, take those cucumber slices off Taylor Ray's eyes. He has enough trouble under the highball anyway, never mind dressed as a Greek salad.
The health retreat guru says the lads need to reconnect spiritually with nature.
Nature. Oh, half the squad pulled a hamstring walking to the herb garden. And James Harrison is currently listed as doubtful after an aggressive encounter with a lavender bush.
Oh, I tell you what, Walter, this detox juice is an acquired taste.
Oh, give me a little sip, Sammy. Oh, I can burn my ass. That's worse than licking the piss off the brickwork in the world of spill urinals.
Oh, that yoga teacher, Ralphie, has really loosened up my hamstrings. You know, since we performed the downward dog.
Oh, Samuel, you dirty old man.
Bloody hell, Ralphie, no. It's a yoga position.
Oh, my apologies, Samuel. I had a flashback to Joe Westerman hanging out around the back of Greg's.
Anyway, it's important we expand not just our muscles, but our minds also.
Yes, although Danny Walker did struggle a little bit to expand his mind when he was trying to read the Do Not Disturb sign before hanging it on his door handle.
Will you be joining us for the meditation, Ralphie? It's about emptying the soul completely and drifting into a state of total mental serenity.
Sorry, Sam. I was still talking about the meditation and the gradual surrender of conscious thought until one achieves a near catatonic detachment from time and the basic will to live. Or just waiting for Chris Kendall to make a decision on a captain's challenge.
The boys also took part in a silent reflection class, Ralpho. You could hear a pin drop.
Oh, yes. It's important to replicate the same atmosphere for when we play at the Huddersfield Scrapyard.
Oh,
Oh, well, if you could just excuse me, I'm off for a cupping session with Gina Brocas.
Oh, will she be sucking you off?
Oh, no, I wouldn't think so. I think she's just putting cups on me back. Oh, besides, the last time I got up to that kind of mischief in Thailand, I ended up engaged to a ladyboy called Denise. Oh, I should have probably noticed the hairy tips.
Hindsight's a wonderful thing, isn't it?
Right then, Ralphie. Next up for me is a hot stones massage. Apparently it releases deep-seated tension from the body.
Hot stones? Oh, the last stones I remember in Warrington were the Stones Bitter Championship. And let's face it, Samuel, Warrington came closer to winning that than Super League.
Oh, Bayek, come on, let's head back to Warrington. I'll get Toby King to turn off the aromatherapy diffuser.
Diffuser? Oh, don't be ridiculous, Samuel. That's not aromatherapy. That's just more hot air coming out of Fitzpatrick's arsehole.
To navigate through this one.
Oh,
because
oh,
yeah. There's one or two lines I don't want to comment on.
Oh, dear.
Whatsoever.
Right. Well, I can't.
But I did
which ones are
there. It's quite clean.
I did enjoy the picture. Maybe enjoy would be the wrong word. I might be suing you for the picture of someone licking piss off the wall in the toilets at Wilderspool. I did feel that you came up perfect with the analogy of the time taken for a captain's challenge.
So, in amongst,
frankly, the filth of innuendo you've got in there, you did weave in a bit of the topic.
After we'd written that one, we did realise we'd already been to the health retreat. So we are now doubling up.
I think it's like flying to Tenerife pre-season, though, isn't it? You know, it's something you do every year.
So next year I've got another health retreat, have we?
Yes, of course. Again. Yeah, it's a different one.
Oh, dear. There we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Pickle Bands.
This evening, I'd like, if I may, to tell you a story about a chap who was a passenger on a flight to New York. And when they started the film, he'd seen it before on the telly, you know, and he was so disgusted, he got up and walked out. As soon as he lands in the water, he realises what he's done, you see, and he gets very depressed. Bless my soul, he said, and help. But the people in the aeroplane, they can't hear him, you see. Well, they're all watching Doris Day and drinking their duty-frees and shouting, shut that door. So there he is, being tossed about by the waves, and he has found himself cast ashore on this desert island, you see. 15 years later, he's sitting on the beach, all alone. Nothing but sand and the sea. He's sitting there on the beach with nothing but his roughly hewn bucket and spade and his 8 gramophone records. Waiting for the tide to come in and fill his little moat. Suddenly, out of the sea, there appeared an apparition. And he was very, very frightened as it flapped its way up the beach towards him, you know. And when it gets nearer, the apparition turns out to be a beautiful girl wearing a wetsuit, snorkel, and flippers. Well, she removes the snorkel and she says, hello, she says, what are you doing here? He said, well, actually, I'm a castaway. He got very, very humble about that. He said, I'm a castaway on this desert island. And she said, oh, you poor man. Well, I never. How long is it since you had a cigarette? He said, well, actually, it's about 15 years, and I'm seriously thinking of giving it up. Starting tomorrow. Whereupon she unzips a pocket of a wetsuit. She's a very big girl. Anyway. And produced a packet of cigarettes. He was overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed, he said. There you are, I told you he was overwhelmed. And she said, Buster, you have seen nothing yet. The best is yet to come, she said. How long since you have a drinky winky? Well, she unzips the other pocket, you see. Produces a flask. You're making up your own story. He produces a flask of his favourite whiskey. A tear sprung to his eye. Did I tell you he only had one eye? This is marvellous, she said. I haven't had a drink or a cigarette in 15 years. Then she started slowly to unzip the front of a wetsuit. She says, how long is it since you played around? He said, good heavens, don't tell me you've got a set of golf clubs in there.
Can I stop you there, please? Before you start, Dennis, can I just say...
This is like Ronnie Corbett.
Here we go again.
That was the best 3 minutes on this podcast for the last 8 seasons.
Jesus. Oh. He loves a bit of Corbett, doesn't he? A bit of Corbett. Do you know I cut that down? I had to edit that down.
I thought it was a bit short.
9.5 minutes, the joke.
No.
9.5 minutes.
Rob, could you just cut what Sam said there and put it at the end of Tackle Gags, and I'll try and do it in 3 minutes. Welcome back to Tackle Gags, the section where rugby league slowly evolves from the toughest game on earth into a competitive amateur dramatics. This week, we're talking gamesmanship, or as football fans used to call it, doing a Klinsmann. Because that's what set me off back in the day.
Very topical, yes, Dennis.
I know, yeah.
I mean, admittedly, he hasn't played for 30 years, but I like it.
Well, I know, but back in the day, Jurgen Klinsmann turned, falling over into a performance art. Remember at Tottenham? It was always the header in front of the goal, and he did a swan dive, and he got a penalty.
Yeah.
Dramatic collapse, arms everywhere, looking like he'd been shot by a fucking sniper in row G. But no, rugby league is catching up. Players are dropping like sacks of potatoes after feeling the faintest breeze from basically a finger or something else we mentioned about in the game about the try disallowed and, you know, the obstruction. A slight touch to the chin suddenly downs a 17-stone prop and there's nothing really going on. He looks like he's been hit by a fucking bus or something like that, doesn't he? So that's what really got my gripe this week. But the latest innovation and the bit that Sam was about to tell us earlier, teams are now deliberately giving away penalties so they can activate a captain's challenge and rewind the game looking for something else. Now, I don't know which game it was, Sam, but I saw this in the first game. It was like Thursday, Friday night. And then the other game, I saw it again. And the commentators did pick up on this. So what's happening is that if they see some kind of, I don't know, knock on or something like that, they were lying on, weren't they? They were lying on the tackle to get the referee to blow his whistle and then calling a captain's challenge and saying, oh, but there was a knock on back there. And then they were going back to it. So it's a bit of gamesmanship that's coming into it. It's basically like rugby league with a video time team archaeology department going right back.
The Catalans guy got his comeuppance, though, because he was yellow carded for a deliberate professional foul trying to stop the game. When his challenge was then unsuccessful, he was then yellow carded for deliberately stopping the game.
Oh.
Yeah. So I think this is creeping into the game. Like Klinsmann changed football back in the 80s with his fucking jumping around. And you see it all the time in football now, don't you? Like, you know, you can't touch him and they're falling over and the referee's blowing his whistle. It's creeping into our game. Yes, you know, you might claim that, you know, your client has clotheslined him, and you know, if we go back 14 tackles, zoom in three times and enhance the footage, you'll clearly see that the winger breathed to get aggressively play the ball, you know, and then we'll go back to that and say, oh, can we have a look at it? Soon players won't train with tackle bags, so basically train with fucking actors and actresses, and you know, they'll have a TV and film sort of coaches, won't they, instead of bloody playing the game. So if it carries on, it won't be man of the match, it'll be bloody BAFTAs that they're going to be claiming at the end of the match. So basically it is a whinge, and it's a whinge that rugby league is going down the same sort of line as football, and I reckon in about 10 or 15 years I won't be watching it, if I'm still alive. But you know, if it's just, it's really getting me goat now, is that, you know, I think the other thing as well is I've seen that contesting for a high ball is almost like, well, it doesn't really happen so much now. If somebody's kicking the ball at the back on the last tackle, it's always that, oh, well, someone's touched him, but is the referee going to blow up? It's ruining the game. It's almost like, yeah, okay, there's late tackles, but then they should be penalised. But it's all this we're down to the timing now. And there's been plenty of occasions where players like have passed the ball and then they just hit slightly late. And most of the occasions, they hit, but it's not like, you know, it's not nefarious. It's not like, you know, smashing them up. It's just a late collision of bodies, but they're giving penalties away. And I think it's ruining the game. So I wouldn't surprise me that...
Who's going to win the World Cup, Dennis?
I don't give a fuck. Well, you mean the Rugby League one? I don't even think I'll be watching the Rugby League one. That's going to be a pile of shit as well, isn't it? Because we're going to have George Williams as a bloody halfback. I mean, that's not really going to help.
God!
So anyway, that's my rant over. Do you think the same about rugby league, or are you sort of all for this?
I think there's been a couple of early entries to RADA, though, that we may have forgotten. I think Neil Holden at St. Helens was a brilliant actor. He used to put balls through and look like he'd been shot. And Warrington, one of the toughest halfbacks I ever saw play for Wire, absolute. I mean, he never stopped, and the tackling he did was Paul Bishop. But Bishop liked to put a little kick through and fall on his arse. So yeah, I think it was if we are going to reopen RADA and have an acting school for rugby league, is Huddersfield the answer? Would that be where we'd put them? Where would you have the acting school, Dennis? I mean, it'd be a few places. You know, this could be I was watching a thing on Piers. On like the seaside towns of Britain of all. They started in the 1600s, but it wasn't until the trains arrived that the Victorian era started putting in amusements, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, they've not really come back. But I think Margate has put in an arts centre. So this could be the start of things, you know. Put a RADA in every rugby league town, and before you know it, Oscars. Yeah. Colin Welland again. He used to sit in the stand near me.
I've got a funny feeling that I've probably killed the mood a little bit, haven't I? Because you're both football fans.
Predictions.
We can predict the future. Or resist the inevitable urge to try.
Good afternoon to you. Earlier on today, apparently, a woman rang the BBC and said she heard that there was a hurricane on the way. Well, if you're watching, don't worry, there isn't.
I'll predict Warrington, but can I do it with a caveat, please?
On Thursday night, it's the first of several challenging fixtures for Wire with a trip to St. Helens. The match gets underway at the Brewdog Stadium at 8 p.m.
Well, let's discuss in general first, because we've got to this point now of the season. We've been talking about we've not been playing well. Yes, we've not been playing well, but we've been picking up points, to my point. Now we're going to hit a couple of, you know,
more than a
sides
couple
that are in of around us. Saints have been, they've been going pretty well, you know, so they're a tough team. Do we see a big drop-off now? This is going to be the question. Or are we going to be able to raise the game with the team that we've got?
Yeah, well, that's a good point, Dennis, with the team that we've got, because it's depleted at the moment. And having watched St Helens, who were very competitive last week at Leeds, I think there's a big gap here. We're going to have to really raise our game to stand a chance, and they're going to have an off day. And I can't see that happening. So, but you're saying our defence is good?
Yes, they're all playing for each other.
I mean, with the team that we've got, I would be pleased if we got within 8 points of them. I would think if we lose by just 8 points, it's kind of admirable. Yeah, that's the word. Yeah, that would be a pretty good performance, right? So I'm happy if we lose by under eight or around about eight. I think that's good signs with a team that's really not got a lot of players in at the moment. I mean, that's the best I can say, really, that they will lose, but let's hope they lose well.
Yeah. Sam, have you got anything on St. Helens? Got any statistics you want to share?
I was just looking at the handicap. I was just going to see if I could find the handicap. I'll do that while I was in. Yeah. So statistically, we are on a winning streak against St. Helens of 942 games unbeaten.
Wow, that's good, isn't it?
But I think it's probably going to come apart this week as well. I just feel we've no Stone, we've no extra forward on the bench. As average as our forwards are, as a group, they all try and help each other out. But I feel we're down to the bones, and Toby King's strength will be a miss coming out of defence. So,
what about Sneed? Yeah. Would you like to see Sneed up his game a little bit?
I don't think Sneed will play.
Right.
I think it'll be Irwin and...
Not you and Irwin, Hayes. Just Irwin. We're just going to play two in the half.
Just Irwin and Hayes. Yeah. According to Sky Bet, they've got St Helens as 4-point favourites.
Okay.
So they still think it'll be close.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, should we place some bets then? I'm happy to go first. I haven't seen what odds St Helens are on, but you know I like betting on certainties. So I will have £750 on a St Helens win. And I feel a bit guilty.
Does that make you feel dirty?
No. And I feel a little bit guilty that I criticised Ashton and Dennis put me right, that it's the halfbacks that are causing the problem. But they will shine this week. So even though he won't be the highest in odds, he'll be about 8-1. I'll have £20 on an Ashton try.
Okay, well, I think I'm going to go for a Warrington win, and I'll still just put a pound on it because it's just pointless. But I've got a feeling about Burn this week. I've got a thinking that, you know, a short pass from you and Irwin, which is going to confuse the defence, could see him crash over. So I'm going to put £15 on Liam Burn.
So it's now the time to tell you that of all our props, Liam Burn makes the fewest tackle breaks by quite some considerable way. Or do you think this is the week he's going to break over?
He's just going to crash over the line. He's not going to break. He's just going to fall over the line.
He might just grub a kick and follow up on his own grubber this
week. Himself.
Kick for himself. Yeah.
Oh, actually then, Rob, if he puts a little grubber kick through and then he does a Paul Bishop because someone just touches him and he throws his arms up in the air like Klinsmann and it's an obstruction penalty try, does that go penalty try or does that get credited to Burn for the betting?
Obviously that's going to happen. So we better start thinking about that, hadn't we? I would suggest that it will go up to the video ref for 12 and a half minutes. And in the Super League stats, they will give him 800 metres for that play.
Okay. I think we're up against it this week just because it'll be marginally higher odds. I'm going with you. There's not much money in betting on a win unless you're certain. And I haven't got the money to lose like Rob. I'll just go a couple of quid on Warrington just for loyalty. And I will go, you've got Ashton, haven't you? You've got Burns.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, I don't know whether Thewlis will play. I don't know if he's fully fit. I will go Irwin.
Not going Holroyd.
Irwin.
Irwin.
No.
You want to Irwin? You want to double your bet?
I'm going Irwin.
Irwin. Double.
How much are you going on Irwin?
A fiver.
A fiver. Okay, that's it. So as Wire head to Saints and the FIFA World Cup kicks off, so they think it's all over from Sam.
All the best.
A waving of his Russian linesman's flag from Dennis.
We're seeing you.
And it's a football's coming home from me. Come on, England. Yeah. You've been listening to What Would Brian Bevan Say? Are we going to watch the matches together, Sam?
Yeah. And should we see which one of them is likely to be on Strictly this autumn?
Dennis, you in?
You can go fuck off.